we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm catching up with Senator Doug Mastriano of Pennsylvania's 33rd Senate District. Widely regarded as the leader of the reopen movement across Pennsylvania and now the Republican nominee for governor of the Commonwealth. Welcome, Senator. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Josh, for having me. It's been a long journey. And actually, it was 3 years ago today. 3 years ago today, I was sworn into the Senate.
Definitely a major journey. I mean, I can't wait to go back and talk through some of this stuff. In particular, like the fireside chats you did in the summer of 2020. It really, I think, means a lot to me, to people in Reopen, to see all the success that you've had and where you're at today. So thrilled to talk about the journey. I guess I got to start by just saying congratulations on securing the nomination for governor. Wonderful.
Thank you. What a wild ride. Nine people in a race. It was the most contentious and contested Republican primary since 1978. So 44 years since the party has not endorsed a candidate. In that race in 1978, there were seven people on the ballot. I had nine, including myself. The winner was Dick Thornburg, who's going to go on to be a two-term governor. He won with only 33% of the vote. I won with nine people on the ballot with about 45% of the vote. So we do have a mandate. We won 55 of 67 counties. It's amazing. We won all the Southeast except the home county for Dave White, Delco, Delaware County, and the home county of McSwain, Chester. We won Philadelphia County, Bucks County, Montgomery. I mean, it's quite a movement we have here, and what a wild ride it is.
It really is. And I also just have to tip my cap to the organizational structure is something which I feel like I've never seen that. Just getting involved since COVID started, you know, I've observed a lot of politics, unfortunately had to be involved in a lot of politics as kind of a grassroots person. And just the sheer machinery and the way you've kind of built out an army is really the only way I'd describe it. You have, you know, organizational structure, people plugged in all over the place. It's very impressive to see. So it's fantastic. And again, it goes back to a lot of this is coming from, I mean, I feel like I could trace it back to the roots of the fireside chats and your essentially the way that you grabbed a lot of loyalty from people is kind of the way I see it. You just got on camera, talked to people when they were going through an incredibly difficult time, like the Commonwealth was struggling, people were struggling, and you just talked openly and honestly and tell them, look, here's what I see as a senator. So let's go back to the beginning and kind of walk me through how you got there. It probably started for you with like Reopen PA and their group and their movement.
Yeah, so the wolf shuts down the state two marches ago, and it's very abrupt. He gets on TV and says, 4 hours from now, we're shutting down the state, and here's a list of businesses that I deem non-essential. And it was catastrophic. There was so much uncertainty, so many unanswered questions, and Governor Wolf did nothing to prepare the people or his own administration to deal with the influx of unemployment that was coming in. It was complete madness. And so as a senator, I start hearing from people from across my district initially, and then later on the entire state, because many people across the state could not get a hold of their senators and reps. So they started reaching out to me because they saw me on Fireside Chat. But I started doing the Fireside Chats just to help people get answers to so many questions and to find ways to circumvent the bureaucracy and the tyranny of Governor Wolf. And the Fireside Chats led to a reopen movement, initially led by Matt Bellis, of course, out of Lancaster County. And we got to give credit to credit's due. And he had watched the Fireside Chat, so he included me to be a keynote speaker at his first rally 2 Aprils ago. And it sparked a movement. You know, it's funny, I was speaking to a lot of media follows me around. And this one guy was asking me questions. I was walking back to the bus. I was on a bus tour right before the primary vote. And he's like, can you explain your success? Because, you know, you're polling really high. We believe you're going to win. And we did win resoundingly. And I said, well, you know, we have a grassroots movement. And he goes, no, Senator, you have a movement. And that was really manifest during the primary in May when almost half the vote came out for us, completely shattered the rhetoric out of the establishment Republicans who said we can only garner 20% of the vote.
Yeah, and I love this whole mantra that they cling to, just to kind of extend on that thought a little bit, which is that, well, Shapiro wants Senator Mastriano because he thinks he can beat him. Oh, you know, we have to vote for the other guys to have a chance to win. I mean, when you look at the results of what happened, that's nonsense. Against a field of nine, you almost pulled a majority.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up, Josh, because there was a lot of hand-wringing from the establishment folks. For some reason, you know, many of the county committees, well, you know, like we need new blood in our committees. And I've seen this at least in one example in one county. So they get new blood in and the older establishment folks resent the new ideas and new energy and try to push those people out. It's very frustrating. So we saw hand wringing. It's like, well, we believe so-and-so has a better chance of winning the general election than Doug Mastriano. Well, let me explain this to those establishment folks. The person who has the best chance of winning a general election is the guy who can actually win the primary. That's why we have a primary. You have to appeal to your Republican base. And if you can't appeal to your Republican base, there's no way in hell you can win a general election. Let me put it in perspective. So we won with 45% of the vote. That's 12 more points than Dick Thornburg got with seven candidates, not nine in the field back in 1978. And he went on to be a great two-term governor. He only had a third of the vote. I almost had half of the vote. So let's say you vote, you're a big supporter of Barletta, which is fantastic, no problem. 79% of the people in the state voted against him. Say you were a McSwain guy, which was the establishment pick. 84% of the state voted against him. So there's no other guy that you have on the Republican side except the winner of the primary. So it's time now. If you worked hard for someone else, no problem. The people spoke. Now we have to rally. Just, you know, people know I endorse Kathy Barnett and Dr. Oz won. I'm supporting Dr. Oz. That's who the people selected. You know, I supported Teddy Daniels, Lieutenant Governor. Carrie DeRosa, she won Lieutenant Governor. She's on my ticket, and I fully endorse her and back her. Of course I will. That's how this whole thing works.
Yeah, so I wanted to get into how important this election is because of everything. So, I mean, right there, I feel like you're hitting the nail on the head that where you say we need to come together. This is really, really important to me personally because of my involvement with the reopen movement. But I just feel like everything the state just went through for the last 2 years throughout COVID, I mean, we've seen governance really matters. It's very important that everybody comes together and we give as much as we can, because I think whoever becomes the next governor of Pennsylvania is really going to put a stake in the ground and define what Pennsylvania might become.
Yeah, Josh, you're right. And so we're at a crossroads right now. And we see the difference a good governor can make. We have examples in Pennsylvania of Tom Wolf and Josh Shapiro, who's a loyal servant of his party, not the people. He's not a servant of the people. You know, if he was a servant of the people, why did he not investigate Secretary Levine's destructive, failed, murderous policies of killing elderly because of a decision to send the sick back into homes? But instead, he investigated the homes that were ordered to take the sick back. If he cared about the people, where was he with these 4,000 fentanyl deaths in Pennsylvania every year? He's a senior law enforcement official in the state. If he cared about the people of Pennsylvania, why does he allow these ghost flights of unscreened, unmonitored, unvaccinated illegals come flying in from El Paso, Texas, being dropped off in Lehigh Valley, Allentown, Scranton, and Harrisburg? So you have a choice between somebody who's going to serve his people and carry on and continue the extreme, radical, hurtful, damaging policies of Governor Wolf and the Democrat Party, or somebody who stood with the people, stands for your freedoms and liberties, and will ensure that we return back to the greatness that Pennsylvania once had.
Yeah, we have a couple of our key fighters here in Reopen Bucks, like Jamie Walker comes to mind. Maybe that name is familiar to you. They had lawsuits that went all the way up to the state Supreme Court trying to get masks off kids in schools. And who was the name from Tom Wolf's administration fighting in the Supreme Court to keep masks on the kids that whole time? That was Josh Shapiro, top of the suit, and at the Supreme Court level. And that was just a couple of months ago. You know, when you see now the world's kind of back to normal, everybody wants to live normal life on both sides of the political aisle. So I think he's made some damaging choices to be that loyal servant, to use the term that you used.
And he is. And he's the face of bondage and restriction and masking up your kids and silencing political opposition. I mean, he's a far left radical. It's funny, the left wants to call it, you know, people like you and me, you know, far right. We're not far anything. We stand for the basic principles of individual freedom for all men and women created equal in Pennsylvania. On his side, they're radical. They want to tell you which businesses you can operate, you know, how you can operate, how your kids go to school, what they can and can't do. They want to tell you that if you don't put something in your body that you might object to, that you're going to lose your job. That's far left.
It's absolutely wild. So something here, you know, in addition to obviously your candidacy and nomination, which I think is fantastic, there's another really good story to come out of a political vote, which is very specific to Pennsylvania. We're the only state that's done it, to my awareness, constitutional amendment in last year's primary. So I believe we are the only state to say to our governor, okay, your powers are now restricted forevermore. Any governors in the future, this would apply to you as well. You can't do this to people without getting the legislature to approve of it. To me, that is a level of protection. I mean, it essentially means they could never do to Pennsylvania what Tom Wolf did again. What are your thoughts on the constitutional amendment and tracking that all the way back to, you know, House Resolution 836 in the summer of 2020 and everything that was happening there?
It's so personal, and it's personal to, you know, both you and me and everyone else who is part of our movement. So on this day, 10 June of 2019, I was sworn into the Senate. Just 3 years ago, I was sworn in. It seems like, Josh, it seems like 100 years ago, man. We've been through hell and back. And then the next year, on the exact same day of my first year anniversary in the Senate, we had run through Bill 836. And that's why you see on our campaign signs, John 836, about freedom. If Jesus set you free, you're free indeed. Individual freedom. We finally ran that through the Senate after it was through the House. And we were so excited on 10 June of 2020. But the next day, the governor vetoed it. So not growing weary and not fading from this challenge we had to our republic, because Governor Wolf, of course, declared an emergency, and every 90 days he was self-renewing it, killing our state, killing our people, that we ran a constitutional amendment. And so on this day last year, that constitutional amendment came into the full effect of the law, which stripped the governor of these supreme kingly powers that he had. We're the first state in the nation to do that. And it showed, and Josh, I hear from so many people, Doug, I support you, but our election is compromised. I don't think my vote counts. And I just remind them, really? You took your powers back last May. And yes, we have problems, but when we, the people, show up, we strip the governor, the first state in the nation to strip the governor of his supreme powers. Your voice does matter. So get out and vote.
Yeah. It made a huge difference then. I can't imagine this November how big of a difference it's going to make. What then are you ready to do on day one? I mean, obviously you have all of your campaign messaging, you have your website, et cetera. I want to address by the end of this how folks can get involved. I encourage anybody who listens to this, whether you're part of Reopen Bucks or just a general reopener or anybody, get involved now. A big difference in politics from pre-COVID to now is that, man, there are people working the corners all the time. We got out here in Bucks County, we got people at the gas stations registering Democrats over to the Republican side because it's $5 a gallon. It's insanity. So we want folks to get involved. But let's just address, day one, Governor Mastriano, you right on in there. What's that look like?
Day one, we're taking decisive action. And so I'm going out. Anything I could do with executive order, I can do. Obviously, if things have been passed legislatively and are law, they'll have to be, you know, repealed, revoked, or overridden, you know, by the House and Senate. But there's a lot I can do. On day one, I'm going to declare parental rights. You decide how you're going to raise your kids. You know, they're not wards of the state. Day one, parental rights goes in law. Day one, CRT, critical race theory, indoctrinating your kids to hate each other. And any new term they're using will be banned. And schools that defy my order will suffer financial, you know, fiscal consequences to that. Yeah, you know, on day one, any parent that goes to school board meeting and gets a little upset, you're not a domestic terrorist. So guess what? You get to express have a First Amendment freedom. Josh Shapiro is in the of all of these, by the way. On day one, all the mandates, mass mandates, whatever's left of them, because I believe this fall the Democrats going to, you know, rear its ugly head again. They're just drunk with power. So any mass mandates are gone from businesses and especially from schools. There was no scientific reason to mask up our kids. On day one, any requirement for a jab to keep your job is done. You actually have sovereignty over your body and you get to decide whether you want the jab or not. And you're not going to lose your job. That ain't, and day one, any National Guard member that was removed from service because of the medical freedom concerns regarding a COVID vaccine, they will be offered a chance to be reinstated at the status they were without any interruption from the past, you know, X amount of months. On day one, I'm going to remove us from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, GREGI. You wondered why your fuel attack, your fuel energy costs went up 40% on 1 June. Much of that has to do, of course, with what's going on economically, the failures of the Biden and Wolf administrations, but also Governor Wolf put us into this regional greenhouse gas initiative, which is costing us, the people, $2 billion a year over the next 2 years for this mini version of the Paris Climate Accords. We have to pay for CO2 emissions. And so, and since the governor circumvented the legislative body, guess what? I get to an executive order to take us out of it. Now, Pennsylvania, on the first day of the Mastriano administration, is going to see a new birth of freedom, where you're going to live your life how you want, not how some governor tells you, and not how Josh Shapiro tells you.
So let's address then how folks can work towards that. Because I got to tell you, that sounds pretty good to me. It really does. So, you know, you have folks out there who maybe they hear this podcast, or just in general, what's the message from you to how people can get involved? And I'm asking in particular because I go back to what I said earlier about, you know, you built out an army. It's like nothing I've ever seen. And I think it comes from that loyalty that gets, you know, purchased when you just sit there and talk to people honestly, when they're going through a hard time. And it felt very genuine at that time. So given, you know, what has happened across the whole journey and where you are today, your organization structure to me looks like a lot of people who are extremely loyal and they want to hit the ground and do everything they can for you. How can folks get involved in that?
Yeah, there's several things you can do. And obviously, we're going to be massively outspent by the Democrats. They have, you know, all the typical dark money pouring in from the public sector unions. They have, you know, mm-hmm. Soros type of money coming in and lots of money. But as we saw, I was outspent, Josh, 13-1. I spent about, you know, roughly $2 million altogether, just shy of $30 million was spent by other campaigns. One of them was heavily funded by, you know, outside money, and they had nothing to show for it. So we do have a people's movement, which is magnificent, and the movement needs to grow. You know, when all was said and done of the 67 counties, in the state, we won 55 that I mentioned. I mean, that was huge. We had establishment type folks and political wannabes predict Mastriano can't garner more than 20-some% of the vote. You know, we almost got half the vote. We have a mandate mask, you know, in perspective with Dick Thornburg in 1978 that I described earlier. But this movement here is of, by, and for the people. So therefore, we need the people. And so what they have in money, we need in volunteers. So if people can go to doug4gov.com, doug4gov.com, and sign up to volunteer. We need lots of volunteers. We need people knocking on doors, making phone calls, hosting events, being trained to become poll watchers so we can minimize the shenanigans at the polls. And of course, secondly, if you can give, please donate to the campaign. If it's between putting gas in your car or food on the table or buying your medications, keep your money, take care of your family. But if you have a little bit extra, go to doug4gov.com and give. But so either, you know, volunteer and or give money to help us out.
Can you tell me a little bit about, you alluded to earlier how the lieutenant governor campaign is separate in the primary. So Kerry Del Rosso was elected separately and you guys become a combined ticket. I'm curious, what does that relationship look like moving forward? And I guess just kind of give us an overview of who she is and her platform and how you plan to work together, because out here in Bucks County, obviously she's from, you know, the western side of the state, so we're not too familiar with her just yet.
So, you know, I had my pick and, you know, and Teddy lost and, you know, but Carrie is a good individual. She took on 2 years ago a lifelong leader in the Democrat Party, and she beat him. It was David and Goliath. She was outspent massively, kind of like us. She is tough. She's a fighter. She has roots both out in the Southwest and in Scranton. Our relationship is fantastic. You know, I hear from her daily. She's integrated into our team. We have clearly defined capacities that she's going to operate within my team. You'll see us together on a campaign trail, and you also see us separately so we can maximize our efforts. And my name is on the ticket. She's below my name. It's kind of like, you know, president and vice president, how you see, just to put it in perspective there. So we are a combined ticket. You'll see new yard signs coming out with our names on it and shirts with both our names on it, what have you. And I'm speaking honestly, you know, because there were a lot of people on the list of nine people for lieutenant governor. And there was some that I'm really thankful did not win. So you know, seeing her on the ballot and working with her a bit, I'm supremely confident that we're going to do very well together. Her achievement of beating a lifelong career politician, a powerful Democrat, speaks volumes of what she's going to bring. And so I think our ticket's going to look really good out there. And I think people will be very, very pleased with this outcome.
Yeah, it's obviously extremely exciting. So going back to, you know, speaking of excitement, let's go back to just I think in a lot of ways, Senator, your nomination to governor, it kind of represents a culmination to me of the reopen movement. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we just a couple days ago, we parked reopen bucks to say, okay, everybody, you know, it's time to take a break. It's time to go back to doing other things, at least until stuff comes back, if it ever does. Now, in that, I've already observed, I mean, this goes back several months now, I've observed that as the world has gone back to normal, you've seen the intense energy that was generated amongst Republicans throughout the reopen movement and the COVID pandemic. You've seen that energy dissipate into so many other aspects. A lot of it is in your campaign. A lot of it is in people who are now on GOP committees in counties all throughout the state. It's in a whole bunch of different things, fighting at school boards, whatever. How do you see the reopen movement now? I mean, especially as things wind down and we've mostly got life back to normal. You talked about all those day one issues that you want to really hammer hard. And a lot of those are just that it's like hearing singing to somebody who's like fought for all of that for so long to see that we're that close. Where do you think the reopen movement goes from here? You know?
Yeah, I think there's different prongs that it's going. I'm going to focus more on my campaign aspect of it here. So the first thing we have to do is please maintain that energy and let us help us get across the line on November 8th. We so much need you. We won because in large part because of the energy and the reopen movement, you know, and the medical freedom movement and, you know, the elder care facility. There was so many, the Democrats hit us at so many angles and the people rose up and, you know, and said, stop, enough. And so step one was getting that constitutional amendment passed. That was the first concrete thing we did last year. Step two now is to get a Governor Mastriano in place here to ensure that these measures not only are codified with an executive order, but then followed up with legislation from the House and Senate. So after my 8 years is up, those are laws and no other governor can mess with it. So we need tenacity. You like Ron DeSantis in Florida here, I'll make him look like an amateur, but Doug Mastriano absolutely cannot get there without you. Many people, Josh, in your group and other reopen groups here, they helped get me across the line. You know, we won Bucks County thanks to the reopen people and so many other people working so hard there. Hey, I was told I couldn't win the Southeast. You know, we did everywhere except for those two home counties that I mentioned, you know, Delaware and Chester. And I'd expect those counties to vote for their native sons, obviously. But Philadelphia County, you know, arguably the most moderate of the Republican counties, overwhelmingly went for me. So this is as a culmination of two things. Democrats going too far, and they can't help themselves. They're drunk with power. They want to control you and your lives and your families. And number two, the people of the reopen and many other movements saying stop. So please get on board my campaign here. Volunteer and give, but volunteer and help us get across the line. Okay, the second area, simultaneously, please get on your county your county Republican committees. You know, please get on your school boards. Many of your people have. I'll call them our people. And we need your presence elevated politically. We need a new generation of leaders. Yeah, one commentator out of Pittsburgh, you know, the left is trying to figure out what happened here. And, you know, first I go with name calling, you know, ultra far right Republican. I'm like, serious, you know, Ultraman was a hero in Japan. I guess I should take that as a compliment. But what is so extreme about believing in people's individual constitutional freedoms? I'm very mainstream. I'm somebody that actually believes in our constitutional freedoms and believes they should be upheld and honored as delineated in our founding documents. The left, this is a psychological disorder called transference. They're calling us names because they've gone so far left. They think it's cool and okay to deny science and take guys and let them compete against girls in female sports and think that is cool. They think that is, they think they should mask up your kids. They think they should fire you from a job if you don't take that jab. I mean, they want to rule and lord over. They think they should shut down your business if they don't like, you know, how you're doing things. You know, on our side here, it's like, just leave us alone. Get off our backs and out of our wallets. You know, just leave us the heck alone. And so the wake-up call was COVID that forged this movement across the state here, but we're not done yet. We start achieving our goal when you have a Governor Mastriano there, but I by God, Josh, I need your help and your people's help there to get across the line because we're facing a Goliath. We took one Goliath down. Now we have our next one here called Josh Shapiro, and he's the face and epitome of a Democrat tyranny and Democrat control and dominance.
I mean, you couldn't have spelled it out any better. It feels politics has always felt right. Like this right versus left divide has been getting worse, but I mean, It feels like COVID just created two different Americas that people want to live in, really. So this choice we're making in Pennsylvania, I mean, it can't get more important, right?
Yeah, you're right. And we hear in the media, of course, is an echo chamber for anything that attacks people like you and me. They don't like our politics, so they'll name call us, they'll try to label us, they'll try to categorize us and try to pigeonhole us and shove us away. It's not going to work because their party can't help themselves. You know, they want to talk about January 6th while the rest of us are worried about putting gas in the tank of our car. It's going to cost us $3,000 more a year to live because of gas prices and inflation. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Josh Shapiro. I mean, these people are out of control. But, you know, in the end, let me reset this. And this is going to be a bit repetitive, but here, I think it's important to highlight this one more time. So, Doug, I support you. I'm glad you had that hearing in Gettysburg, but nothing happened. And I'm not so sure my vote counts. And so I'm not going to waste my time on November 8th. I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you love your country so little? You showed up on May of last year and you took your powers back. First state in the nation to strip a governor of a Supreme House constitutional amendment. Yes, we have a lot of problems, but when we the people show up in overwhelming numbers, guess what? We could overcome the fraud and the cheating and shenanigans. Virginia, Youngkin, he didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. And the people in Virginia almost lost their Second Amendment 2 years ago. This is not hyperbole. They were this close to losing their Second Amendment 2 years ago because they didn't show up and vote. And these radical Democrats rolled into their General Assembly with a radical left-wing fanatic, far-left Democrat governor who was talking about killing babies after they're born. I mean, these people are sick mentally. They deny science and they hate life. But also, they're going to lose their First Amendment in Virginia. There was also legislation in their House and Senate to remove your ability to criticize their legislators.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
this is like Soviet Union talk. And so the people did not wring their hands like I hear. Oh, Doug, I don't know. They showed up in overwhelming numbers, voted like never before. And plus, they rolled up their sleeves, Josh, and got to work. 95% of the polling stations in Virginia had Republican poll watchers in the rooms. And that really crimped their ability to play games on voting day. And so we got to do the same in Pennsylvania. We have this golden opportunity. You really do have a candidate that's of, by, and for the people. I mean, people know that. That's why people, you know, support us. They see I did not need to do this job. I could have ridden off into the sunset like so many other senior officers in the Army do, but was, you know, gravely concerned about the future of our country, just like you were and so many people in your movement, and could not stand aside. And so you see the pains the left and the media are going to try to destroy me. They've been actually doing this for about 3 years now. Pretty much since the beginning, they've been coming after me. It's just obviously grown over time. They think by name calling me and attacking my character and writing, you know, fraudulent, baseless claims about, you know, about my life, they're going to scare me off and, you know, I'm going to cower like so many other Republicans do. No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to work my tail off to win the confidence of the state here, to win the election in November. And I sure do need more help from the people out there across the state here to help us get across the line.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the help, I'll kind of, again, put out my own call here. As you mentioned before, DougForGov.com, right, is where we want people to go if they want to get involved. And I'll just speak to here in Bucks County, you know, the army that you have, the Bucks County element of it. I mean, I'd be remiss to not give a huge shout out to some of them, like Don Beischel, Liz Deal. These are awesome people, salt of the earth people who work their tail off, have been very influential to reopen Bucks. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and want to get involved, you can even reach out to me. I'll kind of direct you towards those folks. But yeah, everybody get involved, right? Because this is it. This is kind of, to me, it's the culmination. It's what it comes down to. What will this reopen movement kind of be remembered as? And whatever we have left to give, whatever's left in the tank, squeeze now, because this is it.
We're so close, Josh. You can almost taste it, brother. And so let's finish strong. I used to say in the Army, it doesn't matter how you begin the race. It matters more how you finish the race. And so let's finish strong. Let's win in November. And Pennsylvania will be once again the light of the nation. I mean, we have so much hope in this state here. We are where the nation was born in 1776, where we had a new birth of freedom in 1863, Gettysburg. I mean, so much light from Pennsylvania, but it's been so long since we've had a governor that really honors the Constitution and respects people's personal freedoms. And that's what you get in me. So the choice is very stark. You have a uncertain, dark, chaotic future with your freedoms diminished and lost under Josh Shapiro, or you have a new birth of freedom with your liberties and freedoms secured under Governor Doug Mastriano. So let's get together. If you supported somebody else, no problem. That's great. That's why we have the primary. Now it's time to saddle up. And so please join me in this movement here to take back our state and return freedom to our country.
I love it. Well, I got to end with just another huge thank you for everything. I mean, going back to the beginning, again, I have to reiterate that just sitting there and talking to the people, I know and I can speak to how big of a difference that makes in people's lives. So everything you've done has been really super appreciated. Good luck the rest of the day. We're obviously pulling for you and behind you. So good luck on the campaign.
Thank you, Josh, for having me. And thank you for your friendship and support here. And I look forward to going forward and finishing strong on November 8th and changing history.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Senator. We'll catch up with you later.
Thank you. God bless.